on Saskatchewan Rough Rider legend Glenn Suter is brought to you by Quality Tire. With 9 locations across Saskatchewan, visit qualitytire.ca.
Let's go out on that Western Pizza guest hotline. It's the pizza that's known worldwide for a reason. Loaded with toppings of Western Canadian ingredients and always cooked to perfection. Western Pizza. Glenn Suter. Camps are opening up, but there is a plethora of news to talk about when it comes to the CFL. Let's start with the Toronto Argonauts down a quarterback for at least 9 games as Chad Kelly has been suspended by the league.
Yeah, this is was interesting release, and in some ways it seems like there's a disconnect. And again, it's, you know, I don't want to play judge and jury here or try to make overall assessments with, you know, these allegations and whether or not Chad Kelly is guilty of them or not, because we just don't know enough information yet. But, you know, the league was pretty strong. I mean, that's as strong as it gets as far as suspension goes. That's going to be without pay. Keep that in mind. And, and they say it was a third party, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was a third party investigation that found enough evidence to be as drastic as they were with regards to the suspension. And yet the Argonauts, the owners, are going to fight the allegations. So again, it's a tricky one here, because you know, if you play judge and jury and one side is saying, well, we're fighting it all, and there are allegations at this point, nothing has been proven. And on the other side, they're saying, we're giving you a 9-game suspension, and that comes from the league. And it may be more. In their release today, the league said it could possibly be more. So, you know, it's just a mess. I did hear from Chad Kelly's agent. I don't know if you guys have already released his statement, but
no.
I can quote his agent here, who has said, and I quote, "We were surprised by the CFL's disciplinary decision, and we'll be looking into the appeal process. We will continue to do more fact finding surrounding the decision before making a more in depth statement." That's Chad Kelly's agent.
Well, that was my question to Arash Madani. It's like, where does the appeal process land here? And we have the players' union.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this is, again, like I want to be careful not to sound like I am downplaying the allegations, because they're serious and they're real, and they're going to have to sort through all of this evidence from both sides. But you know, you can, I'm sure that the Players Association, I'm sure that, you know, Chad Kelly's representation will be looking hard into, a possible appeal process. I mean, again, it's so hard to play judge and jury when you don't know all the facts.
That's an excellent point. We don't know all the facts. But what you did say brought up another point. The Argos were supposed to report this as soon as they found out about it. If this investigation was done and the Argos did know about it, is there not some other form of suspension, punishment, fine that the Argos would be subject to?
Well, I think the Argos have said, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, again, sort of paraphrasing from a statement a while ago now, that they have that they will be fighting the allegations. They'll be making their argument and fighting the allegations. So, I'm not sure about your question on the timing of things and, you know, what they knew, what they didn't know, those kind of things. But, you know, if you're on the outside and you don't know the facts and you're thinking, well, if they're fighting the allegations, they must have enough information to do that. And then on the other side, if the league gives him 9 games and possibly more without pay, then clearly they have some information that, you know, allowed or not allowed them, but you know, forced them to do this, or where they decided to be as strong as they were here. So, you know, there's just a disconnect between, you know, we're going to fight it. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, these are all assumptions. If you are going to fight an allegation like this, you must have information that you believe you're going to win that fight. And if you're not, you're going to, you know, apologize, take the suspension, move on, you know, that kind of thing.
This is not a criminal case, though. This is a civil case. So an admission of guilt by Kelly's team would really hurt him in the civil trial. They've got to stand up and say that they're going to fight this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, let's throw in a hypothetical here. What if, and I know these allegations are serious, and I'm not downplaying them in any way, but what if no evidence or not enough evidence to go forward with this litigation, and they drop the charges, or they drop the allegations, and he served a 9-game suspension? Now, again, I'm not defending Chad Kelly here. I just think you have to go through all of the facts and get deep into the investigation. And for me, the disconnect is how punitive it was from the league office, which had to be based on their third-party investigation, as opposed to the ownership of the Argos saying we're fighting the allegation. And again, you're right. There's, you know, this is league policy. So they didn't need to find burden of proof at the criminal level.
No,
for the league to do this, it was their what's it called, the gender-based violence policy. So. Yeah, that's the basis of their suspension.
There is a lot to unpack there, and we're going to have more in the days to come. Let's shift here to Nathan Rourke finding a possible landing spot with the New York Giants. I don't like it. Again, obviously, they know way more than I do, but I just look at what the Giants have, who the Giants have brought in. I don't know, but there must be something there. And the thing that I look at is there's something to be said about how quick this happened, right? Like, somebody wanted him.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe more than one team did, and they decided to just get it done. You know, I think there's been, you know, part of Nathan and what works well for him here is that he's had some well-respected coaches bring him in. So even though he didn't find the field in the regular season, He has still been brought in by like a Bill Belichick level guy, right? So he looks at it and says, other teams can look at that with younger coaches and say, well, you know, if they saw something, we should take a look at the kid, you know. But here's the thing, I think, you know, one of our most important assets is time, and you know, Nathan Rourke is not going to get 28 back or 29 back or whatever.
Yep.
And he's a smart guy. You know, he's a smart guy. So he's going to make what, about $1 million a year US. So he's taking care of his family financially for sure. And he put some of that money aside to build his nest egg in a couple of years, but he's a smart guy. And I don't think it's going to be much longer. And this is me speculating, I haven't talked to Nathan in the last little while, but if it were me in that position, you have to explore it with the chance of a $10 million signing bonus one day. I think you have to keep exploring it for a certain amount of time. And then there's a line in the sand. And that line in the sand is, you know, I can't turn 31 and never have seen the field. Or, you know, I think he's because there's two ways to do this, the way Nathan is doing it now or the way Warren Moon did it. You know, Warren Moon came up here, won a couple of championships up here, and then went back and had a great career. So did Doug Flutie. They didn't want Doug Flutie. He was too small.
Jeff Garcia.
And then he came up here. Yeah. Jeff Garcia, same thing. So, you know, there's that avenue, too, that Nathan, I'm sure, has been thinking about.
You know, I want to take us back to the CFL and camps opening. We're getting pretty excited. I know I am. I'm already looking forward to the start. The Riders on offense outside of left tackle, I think are set. I think they could tell you who's going to start in every position. But is there a surprise somewhere else in the Riders or in even another camp that you're watching that you're thinking who's going to take that job?
Well, the most important part is not even just the guys that you are you know, penciling as starters right now, or even writing them in ink if you want. What you want ideally, and what Corey Mace is, I'm sure, looking for, is to build as much competition as he possibly can. So if there are three Canadian receivers trying out for one job and they're all good, and then you get a surprise in one of your draft picks, that all of a sudden coming out of rookie camp. Now, rookie camp is different than the regular camp. You're not playing against the veterans in rookie camp. But if a guy's shining there and then he continues that when the main camp kicks in, and you start saying, well, now we have real competition. We have the possibility of a upstart rookie here just making big things happen. And we've got our two or three guys in the same position that are competing and ready to be, CFL All-Stars. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for as much competition in camp. If you've got three guys in two or three guys in every position that you think could start, man, you got a good football team coming out of the gate. I guarantee you. That's what rookie camp is about, and that's what moving into the early part of training camp. But they're so quick now. Man, just so different than even, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was a month and four preseason games. Well, maybe it was 15 or 20 years ago now, but
not to put an actual date on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a month and four preseason games and then one scrimmage with Winnipeg for the Riders. So you had a lot of chance as a rookie to go out and make the team and make some plays and get the coach's attention. But now you get a quarter in the first game. And if they throw away from you and you're playing corner, you better be good on the teams. That's really where you make it.
Back where you toiled and made your living in the on the defensive side. Let's not forget here, Roland Milligan Jr. He missed 14 games last year, right? Like the team was 3-1. Are you curious as me to kind of see how he bounces back? And obviously, he's got to have the fire under him.
I think you can make an argument. I mean, Larry Dean was their best leader last year, but I think you can make an argument that he was the best player on defense for a while there before he was injured. And yeah, so the answer to the question is absolutely. Like, I can't wait to see the development of their Canadian receivers, like some of their DBs that were young, that were looking really good, and he was one of them. And, when you look at the competition in the O-line, I think that's always an indication of how you're – the first thing people are going to look at is, A, how does Trevor Harris look? And coming back off his injury and when he's in live drills and things, and B, how does his offensive line in front of him look? Mm-hmm. And then all the other positions, everyone will take their time looking and evaluating that part.
It's always exciting in May,
yeah,
in Saskatchewan. But this year, like, you can feel it. There's more excitement, and it starts with Corey Mace.
Well, and to me, the addition of Jamarcus Hardrick is the big one. I mean, just that makes that offensive line so much more solid. And we're going to have Philip Blake all year. Those are two big pieces we didn't have last year to shore up that offensive line. I think they're going to be outstanding pieces to making the Riders more successful.
And Ouellette. Don't forget Ouellette.
Oh, yeah.
I think, a couple of aggressive guys on the O-line that are veterans and know what they're doing, that's one thing. And you mentioned that. And then a pounding tailback behind you that can protect in the passing game but can get you 4 or 5 yards on first down, and you're in manageable situations all the time, even if there's no hole. You don't have to be perfect up front for a guy like that.
Yeah.
And that's a big one to me, because it's not just the athlete there, it's the attitude.
Mm-hmm. Just let him bully his way for four or 5 yards all the time. I love it. Okay, so I got a question for you. Back to your days and camp, because you kind of mentioned about how they're just, even in the last 10 years, they're just bigger, stronger, faster. Now, when you go back to your camps, Glenn, were guys coming in shape, or were guys at camp to get in shape?
Yeah, it's a great question because I was sort of at the tail end. You know, I was one of those guys that, you know, how you break up between, or you think about it, going into camp between two different ways. Are you going in to sort of prove what you can do, or are you going in and playing that almost not afraid, but playing so you don't get cut? You know, like, are you playing to not get cut? And I was one of those guys. I was going in thinking, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power, whether it's training wise. I mean, that was when Walter Payton was running up hills. I did that constantly because Walter Payton was doing it. If he was doing it, I think it's good for your power. You know, all that training stuff. So there were guys. It was right. That was the year. Was right in sort of the transition. Those 5 years in there. And as I was leaving, so not my rookie year, but you know, in the mid '90s, that's when it was different. You know, it had started by then that you were coming into camp in shape. Like, it was not run around just to get your wind in the first day. Now, you still get sore, and you know, there still is a hump day, and you still get sore in day three, and day four is always a tough one. That still happens because it's when you're out there on the field redirecting and being physical in drills and things, when that's happening, you just can't simulate that in workouts. So you are going to get sore still, but the athlete now is going in full on ready. It's 24/7 training now. It's not, and that's why, you know, I think everybody would love to see CFL athletes get paid a little more. You know, you just keep rising that, or raising that, that salary level, because it's a full-time job. It's not just going and play football for 6 months and then take the 6 months off. No way. And by the way, speaking of the physicality, guys, just before we got to go, if Milt Stegall wants to go back to practice, man, I wish I was playing safety for that team and get in a drill with Milt Stegall coming across the middle thinking, you know what, I can still do it. I'm 50, whatever years old he is, or whatever, 45. I can still do it. Until you take that first hit, you can still do it.
No doubt. Or give that first hit, yes, if it was in your... Yeah, let's make it happen for charity. Some way. Suits, always a pleasure. Let's catch up again Thursday.
Okay, sounds good, guys.
That is... our guy, Glenn Suter, in press coverage, and it's always for Quality Tire, 9 locations across Saskatchewan. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.